Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Rock Church, we are great friends with Pastor Jim and Deborah Cabray, have been over a number of years, and I first met Pastor Deborah when I asked her to come and speak at a women's conference that I used to look after in the state of Queensland, which is on the eastern side of Australia. If ever you've been there, it's kind of the Gold Coast. You heard of the Gold Coast? And so I asked Pastor Deborah to come and speak at our conferences, and I just thought, I love the heart and the message in this lady. And so we've managed to stay in touch across the miles all these years later. And whenever we get an opportunity to come to California, we cannot come to California without visiting Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah and coming to the Rock Church. So we love this church. And we are so excited about Pastor Jess and Dan stepping now into their position and the call of God that's upon them and the great destiny that's upon this church. God is an amazing God, and He does a mighty, mighty, mighty work. And it is ongoing and it is eternal. And so you have chosen well today to be in His house. There's no greater place to be other than the house of God. And I feel like I spend my life in God's church, and I don't want it to change. I don't want to be anywhere else. I live in sunny Queensland, sunny Australia, the land of Steve Irwin, crocodiles, snakes, koalas, you name it, kangaroos, and they all go to the beach and all the rest of it. I'll tell you what, give me the choice of the beach or the house of God, and I'll choose the house of God. So we've chosen well today to be here, and it is my great delight, and I hope that I don't speak too Australian. So if I say some funny words and you don't know, I just spoke at a conference last weekend. And you guys may not know, but I was talking about, it was an illustration in one of my messages, which I won't bring to you today, and I mentioned the word chook. Now, all of you will go silent and quiet and think, what does chook mean? Chook in Australian is another word for chicken. There you go. So I'll try not to use too much Aussie language, otherwise you'll look at me blankly and won't have a clue what I'm talking about this morning. So I want to share Pastor Jess and Pastor Deborah and Dan that was speaking last night. I said, just give something of your testimony. And I thought about that, and I thought, where do I begin with that? Because I feel like my entire life is one big testimony. And even though there's been significant and important moments and milestones that have happened in our lives, some big stories have happened in our lives, it's like, where do you begin, and what should we bring to the table of our lives on this day? And there's been many things. As Byron was here last night, if you didn't hear, it might be great if you listen to that on podcast or whatever facilities you've got, because it's just a great story about the faithfulness and the help of God through the big challenges of life. And even though we're believers in Jesus Christ, have you discovered yet we are not immune from the challenges that come our way? And you can love God with your whole life, and yet we all face challenges and trials and situations that take us way out of our comfort zones. And what that really does is provide an opportunity for us to trust God. And so last night he would have given that story in much greater detail than what I will this morning, because there's some other things that I want to cover today. But I want to share this message with you today, and I've simply titled it Miracle Territory. Because I believe that the life of the believer is one big miracle territory. It is a miracle journey. The fact that you are here today and you love Jesus tells me that your life is a miracle. God found you where you were at. He took your life and He began to give your life eternal kingdom meaning and purpose. And so your entire life is a miracle. And the women sitting to your left, to the right, to the front, to the back, you are sitting next to a miracle today. My life is a miracle. My entire life, I give glory to God for it, because He's brought us through deep waters. He's taken us through the good, the the bad, and everything else in between, whatever you want to call that. And he's been faithful every step of the way. Some of it I've understood, some of it I haven't understood. Some of it I could say, that's what that was all about. And other times I was, what on earth was that all about? And despite that, whether I've had understanding or no understanding, he has been faithful. My life is a miracle, and so is yours. And so I want to talk to you today about this miracle journey that we find ourselves on. We have three children. As Pastor Jess mentioned, I have a son who's now 36 years of age, which meant that I gave birth to him when I was 10. I'm delusional also, and I have a daughter who's just turned 33 while I've been here in California, and I have another beautiful girl who's 27 years of age. And so we have three children, and we have seven grandchildren, and I adore them. And my little three-year-old, it's hard when you're away because they send you all these video messages, all these cute little messages, and then all of a sudden the mum in you wants to hug them and kiss them and treat them and just you do the Nana thing. And so I've got to go back and celebrate two birthdays when I go back. So we leave tonight at midnight and we'll be home. It's funny, isn't it? You leave on Thursday night, but you get back in Australia on Saturday morning. Still can't quite wrap my head around that. So I'll just, you know, let the plane do its job. But with these seven grandchildren, one of my grandchildren, he loves to play hidey. Do you know what that is? Like hide and go seek. And so he loves to hide behind the chair. And the funny thing is you can see the top of his head. So he thinks he's hidden, but he's not. And so he'll hide, and then he can hear these footsteps coming. So the anticipation and the excitement of somebody coming kind of, it gets more exciting by the second as he hears somebody about to find him. And then when you find him, the excitement just goes into fever pitch. And it's all about the excitement of being found. And I watch this game because whenever he's in my house, he likes to hide and we got to find him. And I thought about that as I was just, you know, thinking about this message. And I thought, God loves to be found. He loves to be found. He loves for his mysteries to be unveiled to us. He loves for his secrets to be a part of our life. He loves for his word to be unveiled. He loves for the keys of his kingdom to be used in our lives and for his keys to be ever increasing in us. We are in an ever increasing kingdom. The kingdom of God does not diminish. It does not decrease. And once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then his kingdom comes with ever increasing measure in us. And so this is the importance of us growing in Christ, because his kingdom and there's so many facets and dimensions and layers of his nature increase in us. And so as I mentioned, we've been through many situations in life, and so have you. Any one of us could stand here today and give our story, and it would be a miracle. It would be an outstanding testimony of what the Lord has done. Last year actually, my son, who's a musician and was traveling the world, and he was part of a music tour, and they were given opportunity. They were signed by Sony and got a record deal and the whole deal, and anyway, so part of that was this global tour, and one of the destinations that he had to go to was Paris. And so when just before he left, he was leaving, can't remember what month it was he was leaving, because it was like a 3-month tour. But at some point leading up to that, a couple of months before he left, I started to get this apprehension, this feeling of just something's not good here, something's not right. And you know that feeling, you just got this gut feeling going on the inside. And this was around about, I think from memory, around about September, October. I was starting to feel unsettled in my spirit. And I went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said to me this. He said, I want you to circle Shane's life like Joshua circled the walls of Jericho. And I want you to start to circle around about his life. And so I didn't know what God meant by that, but I began to just circle and circle with prayer and with the word. And I didn't even really know what I was praying about. But as I began to do that, certain scriptures rose up in my heart. For example, Psalm 91 was one of them. You know that one? And I began to pray, and the more I prayed, I began to get very specific about how I was praying, and I said, God, wherever he is, because I knew he was in Europe somewhere, and I didn't exactly know where he was, but I said, God, would you just cause angels to encamp around about his life? And wherever he goes, Lord, I pray that you would cover him and keep him from evil and keep him from harm and keep him from terror. And I began to pray that way for several weeks. Little did I know that that prayer would be tested. And it was November, and I got a text message from my daughter-in-law saying that my son was right in the middle of the Paris terror attacks. He was in Paris. He was in that little restaurant that the terrorists came in and absolutely annihilated people. He was in that very restaurant. He was in there. He was having a meal, and he had left just, I think it was around about 30 minutes before that took place. He was out in the street loading his music gear into the van that they had there, and somebody grabbed him and threw him into a bunker. They called it a bunker. How on earth you find a bunker in Paris, I do not know, but I imagine it's rooms that have been left over from the war. And he was thrown in a bunker, and he was in there for 7.5 hours with two terrorists outside the door trying to bust in through the door. And in this room, they had like a mezzanine level floor, and Shane came up with a plan, because they still somehow, he was with others as well, but they had a plan that, you know, if the terrorists break in, we're going to get up onto higher ground. Who knows that that's a spiritual key right there. Get up onto higher ground, and what we're going to do when the terrorists come in, we're going to drop our music gear on their head and knock them out. That's what we're going to do. That was about the extent of his plan. And thank God that never got tested, because I don't know if it would have worked or not. But he was locked in there for 7.5 hours. And when they got out, they ended up getting the terrorists. They had to walk down the same street. And he said it was like a ghost town, because he walked past the same restaurant that he'd been there just hours before. And there was signs that some terrible things had taken place. There was no one to be seen. There were a couple of people in the streets with blood all over their t-shirts, and they got sent back to the hotel, and he was told to wait there because they meant to cross the border the next day and go into Brussels, where they weren't allowed because all borders were shut, of course. And of course, Brussels was the very place where the masterminds had formed this plan, and that was their central base. And so when he finally got back, and we got word that he was now, several days later, he was able to cross the border and get into Germany. I was so grateful to God that, number one, I heard in my spirit what I needed to do. Number two, that I obeyed the word that God gave me, even though it did not make sense at the time. And number three, we can now celebrate the victory, because God gave a way out of something that could have been the end of his life. God is good, right? And this is the importance. Jesus went to Calvary on the cross, but he gave us keys of the kingdom to be used in the wilderness. And we've got to use the keys of the kingdom in every situation. Listen, whatever God gives you, do it. Even if it doesn't make sense to you at the time, just do it, because there's a reason and he wastes nothing. Let me share a couple of scriptures with you in the few minutes that we have together today. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says this: forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. And see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. That is your promise today. God is making streams in your wasteland. What does your desert look like? What does your wilderness feel like? What does your wasteland look like over your family, your marriage? God can make a stream through it all. He is a mighty God. The other scripture that I want to add to that is Isaiah 44 verse 3. And this is important as women for us to know this. He says this: for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. And I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees flowing by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord, and another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still, another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name of Israel. Women, I want to share this with you today because God tells us very, 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 very clearly this morning. First thought is this: let go of the former things and do not dwell anymore on the past. The reason this is so important is because for you and for me, for the body of Christ on planet Earth in the 21st century, as women who are serious about our decision and our walk in Christ, He wants us to go forward. He wants us to go forward, and so often in life and situation and circumstance, we can get so fixated on the wrong things, giving us the wrong perspective. And it's time for us to disconnect from the things of the past that have restricted and limited our vision. How easy it is for us to just see one little aspect or one little look at something instead of seeing the bigger view, the bigger picture. We got to disconnect to some degree from our past. Whatever it is that has prevented you from getting your feet wet, whatever it is that has prevented you from going forward, whether it be something in your past or something in your present, whatever it is that has caused you to lose your way or lose your confidence, never forget. And I can tell you so many stories, but I don't have time in 30 minutes. But I tell you what, one of the things that the enemy does is he is a confidence stealer. If he can't take your faith, if he can't take your testimony, what he will endeavor to do is to steal your confidence. And you've got to fight for it. And you've got to stand your ground for confidence, because confidence gives you perspective, and confidence causes you to stand in courage when you are in your wilderness days. We may not be able to change what has happened to us, but we can stand in our destiny. See, for the first 17 years of my life, we're not the easiest on planet Earth. Born into a family with two great parents. They were good parents. They provided well. They were both professional people. My dad was in the Crown Law Department on his way to becoming a judge. My mum was a highly credentialed nurse, and she just went as high as she could. She started nursing at the age of 16 years of age, and she retired at the age of 81 years of age of full-time work as a nurse. So they imparted a lot of good things into us, two great people individually, but they were terrible together. They did not have a happy marriage. They didn't get along. They argued all the time. They were both heavy drinkers. And of course, once you get alcohol in the mix of a volatile marriage, it escalated on so many occasions into domestic violence. And so my whole childhood, from the age of 5 all the way through to age of 17, here I was looking at these two professional people that walked out the front door of a morning, going off to their good jobs, holding down responsible positions and coming home, and it was an absolute war zone at home. Not able to manage their emotions or manage their marriage or manage their life at home, and it would escalate into domestic violence to a point at times that I did not know if I would wake up the next day and find my mother. She was gone. She was dead. It was that bad. It was that critical. And at the age of 17, the grand old age of 17, when you think that you're ready for the big bad world, I wasn't ready at all. But I got onto a bus because I got a job in a country town in southwest of Western Australia as a secretary for a solicitor. And I worked with him as a receptionist for a little while until he got arrested of embezzlement. So that was the end of my legal career right there. My boss got arrested and jailed for embezzlement. And so at the grand old age of 17, here I was the first 17 years of my life. And what that did growing up in that home, I was filled with fear, and I was filled with insecurity, and I was filled with uncertainty about my own future. But I tell you what, God makes a way through your wasteland. He makes a way through your desert. I didn't ask to be born into the family that I was. I had no control. I had no choice about it. But once I met Jesus Christ, I was then given a choice about not what the first 17 years of my life looked like, but the remainder decades of my life. However long God allows me to live on this planet, I could choose that the first 17 years of my life will not define the remaining years from now on. And the decades that I've lived from that point on have not been horrendous, have not been horrible, have not been bad, have not caused insecurity and fear. And when Jesus comes, he creates a stream in your wasteland. He makes a way. I chose to believe that God could do something new and something great in my life. The faith that I've developed in God. I don't know whether you've ever flown long distance. I'm about to do that. But if you fly hours over vast spans of water, and then you see that first glimpse of light and land, and you realize your feet are about to go onto solid ground, which I'm always grateful about because I want to get off that plane as quick as I can get off there. You get squished up into the seat and it's uncomfortable, and they turn out all the lights so you go to sleep. What a joke that is. Nobody goes to sleep. I look over the aisle and there's someone who's snoring, and I think, how do they do that? You know, give me drugs and it might work, but it's just, I don't know, I haven't mastered that one yet. But finally you see land and you realize your feet are about to step upon solid ground. And women, that's exactly what God wants you to do. Irrespective of what your life looks like right now, once you know Christ, your feet can remain upon solid ground in the name of Jesus. That scenery may not have changed yet. That picture may not look great right now. You may have more questions than you've got answers right now, but your feet can remain upon solid ground. That's what Jesus brings to us. That's what our faith in God brings to us. Do I know the answers to everything? I do not. But faith can change the landscape of your life. And he tells us why we are not to look at the former things. And he makes it clear to us. And he says, because I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. And he says, it's not about to start tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or next decade. But he said, I'm doing a new thing right now. Right now. If you can perceive it, you can receive it. God is doing a new thing in your life right now. Right now. I'm a bit of a now girl. I kind of like the now thing. You know, God, I don't like waiting for too much. You know how they say, wait on the Lord and grow strong in God. I say, God, could we just kind of bypass that and make it now? That would be really cool. But there's some things we've got to grow through and develop through. But he says, I'm doing a new thing right now. Can you not perceive it? If you can perceive it, then you are well on your way to receiving it. Most of us here most likely drive secondhand cars. Me too. But if ever you have a chance to get into a new car, a brand new car, you know that new smell? Oh, you don't want to let a child in there. You don't. Those chip packets that get squished down the side of the seat, and you take them through the McDonald's drive-through, and for the next 3 days your car smells like McDonald's fries, right? It just kind of gets into the everything, and your car, you've lost that new car smell. You know, when you get that rain, I hear there's 50% a chance of rain tomorrow. I don't know. That's what Pastor Jim said, and I believe every word he says. So Pastor Jim said 50% chance, or is it Monday? Oh, Monday, 50% chance of rain on Monday. After a rain, you know how you get that smell? It's like something's fresh and been washed and it's clean. It's like the new shoots come out somehow of dry ground and something fresh has come. And you know, this is exactly what God is wanting to do in your life and in mine. It's like the downpour of his Spirit. It's like the fragrance of God is in the air. It's like the signs of new shoot and new life and new opportunities and a new day. Why? Because I'm doing a new thing in you. Forget the former things. Let it go. It's now in your history. Why? Because your future is greater than what you've just left behind. The days ahead when you know Jesus are greater than what you have left behind. A lot of this is about our own perspective. What do we see? I was thinking about a young man in our church, a fine young man, a good young man. But he grew up with two Christian parents, great parents, but their lives just went crazy. And both they divorced and they stopped serving God and they made some very bad decisions which impacted upon the three children. And this young man is now in our church. And as a result of that, he's got an altered perception of things. And I was thinking about this very scripture. For some reason, since I've been over here, he's been on my mind and he's been in my heart. And he's a fine young man. I don't know how old he is, maybe about 28 years of age. And I said, God, I pray over this young man shipwrecked because our roots go down deep in him and in Christ. Byron gave his story last night. He was diagnosed with stage 4 inoperable cancer. And all of a sudden, with one diagnosis from the doctor, our lives changed. Our routines changed. What we did with our daily lives changed. Everything changed with one diagnosis. At exactly the same time that he was diagnosed, I'm receiving a phone call saying my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer. At exactly the same time. At exactly the same time, a person that was on staff with us went outside of his marriage, got messed up in a whole bunch of stuff. At exactly the same time. At exactly the same time, we were building a house, so all of a sudden I was responsible for projecting a house and looking after our church and everything else. The wind had changed. But I tell you what kept me going and seeing it all the way through to the end was even though the wind brought pressure and the wind brought change, the roots went down deep in Christ. And my husband, thankfully, praise God, is now healed. He's back serving God, feeding 2,000 kids a day in India. 3 orphanages, a widow's home. We're currently building 27 houses for lepers who have been living under corrugated iron. We own a fish farm in India. We've got a dental van. We've got a medical clinic. He was in a car in India where he looked out a window and he saw a vision of a big white function center. And the Lord said, build it. And he looked back a second time and it was nothing more than vacant land. And he went back to our church and he told our church board, he said, I've got to build this big function center in India and every dollar of profit will go to feeding the hungry. And our board were not excited at all. No one caught the vision. Who knows that Joseph carried the dream, but his brothers did not. And my husband was so disappointed because he said, God, you've told me to build this and now the church won't get behind it. What will I do? Inside 3 days, a man from North Queensland, the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and said, God told me to ring you and I'm to give you a sum of money for whatever he's told you to build. And it was exactly what we needed. And today that function center exists. God makes a way through your wasteland. He makes a way, streams in your desert. And we can bend with circumstance and pressure, but we are left standing in Christ. Last couple of thoughts is this, and then I'll close. The poplar wood is used for painting. And one of the most famous paintings known to us is that the Mona Lisa was painted on poplar wood. You see, the first painting picture, image, if you like, of my life in that first 17 years was domestic violence, fear, and insecurity. And I'm so glad that that wasn't the final chapter. I am so glad that that wasn't the painting that needed to be painted over my life. But God used that to get me to where I am today. And He has painted a whole nother story over my life. He has painted a whole nother picture. He has painted a whole nother marriage. He has painted a whole nother future. And God has painted His story all over your life and all over your children and all over your grandchildren. You say, but they're doing this and they're there and they look like this today. Listen, once Christ is in it, there is nothing that is impossible for Him to do. And He paints a whole nother painting over our lives for His glory. Last thing is this, poplar wood is used for musical instruments, guitars and drums and other instruments. And musical instruments, we know, make beautiful sounds. And I am convinced, church, hear me, please, please, please hear me this. Hear this. There is a sound in the kingdom of God that you won't find anywhere else. You can go to the greatest concerts, you can go to the greatest theaters, you can go to wherever you choose to go, but there is a sound in the church that you will not find anywhere else. It is the sound of faith, and it is the sound of courage, and it is the sound of hope, and it is the sound that He heals the sick, and it is the sound that He mends the brokenhearted. It is the sound that He delivers the demon-possessed. It is the sound that He sets the oppressed free. If we will stay on message as a church in the 21st century, your community, your streets, your neighborhood, your families, your nation, just like mine, needs to have the sound that is in the church. And this is why He says to you and I, forget the former things. And I'll tell you why, because the devil wants you to get fixated on former stuff. The regrets, the disappointments, the things that did not come your way. And he wants you to lose your hope, your focus, and your confidence. But if you will trust Jesus all over again, if you will go again in Christ, there is a whole nother story yet to be told. There's another painting in process. There's another sound that's coming out of you. And you will be amazed at what your God can do. Because in Job's life, it says that the latter was greater than the former. And if you thought the first half was good, you've only reached good. You haven't reached great yet. There are great stories yet to be told. There are great testimonies are still emerging in your family. There are sons and daughters right now in addiction, but I tell you what, addiction can't hold them once the blood of Jesus gets involved. There are sons and daughters in your family that they will one day preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are stories in your family. When my husband was an alcoholic, we could never have imagined the God story that was in us. When I grew up in a home of domestic violence, I could never have imagined that there was a church in me, that there was a message in me, that there were orphans in me, that there were thousands of people that would one day hear the gospel. I could never imagine that story was on the inside of us. But I tell you what, once Jesus gets there, oh my. Let's not limit what the Lord can do. There is a sound in the body of Christ that you won't find anywhere else. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let him steal your courage. Don't let him steal your confidence. And don't let him steal your testimony, all for his glory. Amen. Behold, I do a new thing. Can you not perceive it? Isaiah 58:11 says this, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. That is your testimony. Let's pray together. Father, we honor you in this place. And oh God, I don't know the people here today, but you do. You know them by name. You know every last little detail of their lives. You know the burdens that are upon them. You know their family stories. You know their sons. You know their daughters. You know, my God, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. You know their own grandparents, their mothers, their grandfathers, whatever, oh God, you have in their lives today. You know the God story in them. And Father, we are so aware that we are in spiritual hostile territory. We have an enemy who has tried to come against us, but oh God, even though he tries, he will not prosper and he will not prevail. For God, we hear the sound of the kingdom of God arising within us today. We hear a fresh sound of hope. We hear a fresh sound of courage. We hear a fresh sound, my God, of confidence arising within us today. And we draw the line in the sand today that our former is done with. It is finished. It is now our history, and we step into our destiny, for our destiny is far greater than our former life. Our destiny, our days ahead are so much greater than what we leave behind. And today, Lord, I pray that you would paint your painting and your story and your picture all over their lives and all over their families. Pour out your spirit upon their offspring, I pray, and upon your daughters in here today. In the name of Jesus, and everyone says, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.